Deuteronomy 8, as we consider the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, verse 11, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread." We'd also like to consider Deuteronomy chapter 8 alongside that. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Beware, lest thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Our text for this morning is simply the words of the fourth petition from Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we wish to consider with that Lord's Day 50. I won't be referring to that explicitly throughout the sermon, but I'm going to read it now. And the principles that are found in that Lord's Day will come back throughout the sermon, I trust. Question 125, which is the fourth petition? Answer, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Well, in our study of the Lord's Prayer so far, we've seen the first three petitions in the opening of the Lord's Prayer dealing with who God is. The opening address of the Lord's Prayer deals with the nature of God as Father. The first petition deals with God's name. The second petition deals with God's kingdom. The third petition deals with God's will. We can take all these petitions and bundle them together and say that the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray, first of all, for the fame and the honor and glory of God. But the fourth petition deals specifically with our own needs. At first, I struggled. And as I read, I think it's been the struggle throughout the church. We are to pray for our daily bread, and we often think that's unspiritual. But as we dig deeper into what the fourth petition actually means, we see that praying for our daily bread is really a barometer of our heart in relationship with God. Because all these petitions, they really exalt God and put Him in His rightful place as the God who sits on the throne of His kingdom, as the God whose will needs to be done in this earth, but also as the God who provides all things necessary for our body. You see, this fourth petition also exalts God, even as it puts us in our rightful place of dependence upon God. And so the fourth petition addresses us right where we are this morning. It addresses us in how we live our lives in dependence upon God. It addresses us as we live in a wealthy culture. Living in a wealthy culture with all kinds of riches and blessings and abundance presents all kinds of challenges in praying the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." The main temptation I believe that we face in praying this temptation is the one that the Israelites faced that God warned them about in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's this, it's forgetfulness. It's forgetting that God has given us all these things. It's forgetting that God is behind everything that we have. And so God addresses each one of us this morning, whether we are believers or unbelievers. He brings this truth home. That He is behind it all. And that what we've received from Him. The question we are tempted to ask as we sit down to eat, as we do our groceries, as we walk through the aisles at Meijer or Family Fair, wherever we shop, as we cook our meals, as we see our loaded pantry, the question we are tempted to ask is this: does God have a hand in this meal? We could extend it to all the things that we have and that we use. Does God have a hand in my clothing, in my home, in my car, in my possessions? This question was captured by an example that I was reading about as I was preparing. It was an example of a man who had given up on prayer. He said, "How can I maintain without lying that God has a hand in this meal?" Apparently, the man thought it would be dishonest to pray for his daily bread because he had earned the paycheck. He had gone to the grocery store. He had untwisted the tie on the bread bag and he had made his own sandwich. What did God have to do with that? And so he gave up on prayer. But I think as we move through the fourth petition, we'll see that we need it more than ever. That we ought not to give up in praying this petition. The first challenge we face is found in the first word of the fourth petition, the word give. The word give. In our wealthy culture, we're not used to asking for help. You see, we're not used to receiving. We're simply used to taking. That's our mentality, isn't it? We're naturally independent in our sinful human nature, and that continues to exert itself also in our petitions, in our provisions, in our possessions, in our daily bread. Perhaps we question, like this man in the example that I just shared, why pray for God to give us our daily bread when the grocery store is full? When our bank accounts have enough and to spare? When the pantry shelves are bowed under the weight of the food in them? We have this take mentality rather than a receiving mentality in praying for God to give us what we need. And so the temptation then is to forget that God has given us our food, our shelter, and that he provides for all our daily needs. It's nothing new to our day, because the Israelites faced the very same temptation. God warned them very clearly as they were about to enter the promised land. We read in Deuteronomy 8 of all the things that God was going to bring them into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. The rocks would bring forth metals, they would have all kinds of things necessary for daily existence. God would do that for them, and yet there was this temptation that when they were brought to the promised land and they would receive all these things, they would forget God. God warns them ahead of time, as he warns us this morning, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 14. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God." When we live in a wealthy age and our hearts go out to that, we face this temptation of forgetting to ask God to give us our daily bread. We simply take it to ourselves and think that we have done it. And to drive this point home, what was the specific sin of Sodom and Gomorrah as was highlighted by the prophet Ezekiel? It wasn't gross immorality. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, we read this: "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Pride, first of all. Putting ourselves in the place of God. And then we read this: fullness of bread. Fullness of bread was one of the particular sins that plagued Sodom and Gomorrah. And then abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So Sodom and Gomorrah were living for themselves. Everything that they had received led them down this path of immorality. Do we see a trend, perhaps, in our own culture, in our own land, that God has brought us into this abundant place, a place of wealth, a place of bread in abundance, not even having to think where the next meal is coming from because it's already there, an age of fast food, abundance of, or fullness of bread. Forgetfulness of God as we see that abundance of bread before us. And then sliding down the path of immorality. Of not only forgetting that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, but also forgetting God's commandments as a result of being exalted, that we have taken these things for ourselves rather than receiving them from God. How do we guard against such a mentality? How do we live in such a way that we remember that God has given us these things? Well, let's begin with those who work to provide for your families, fathers and mothers. for those who provide for yourselves if you're single, when you bring a paycheck home. You need to remind yourself that this is not just your doing. That's the principle that was laid down in Lord's Day 50 as we read it, wasn't it? That we are in utter dependence upon God for his blessing our work. So we bring the paycheck home, we get an auto deposit, and we say, the Lord has given this. The Lord has blessed our work this week so that we can put a paycheck in the bank, so that we can provide for ourselves and for our families, that we have something left over to give to those in need. Because that too was part of the problem in Sodom. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And so we must not take that paycheck for granted in providing for our families. Some of you know what that was like several years ago in the downturn, the economic downturn. Some of you were unemployed and you were living day by day upon the providence of God. You knew what it was to pray this petition, give us this day our daily bread. And so we mustn't take it for granted. Yes, we must work to put food on the table. But the first thing that we must do is remember that the Lord, our God, is the one that giveth power to get wealth. So we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. It's the Lord who blesses us. And so we can cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving as we see all these things. It begins in the mind, doesn't it, to remember that God has given us all these things. Mothers, when you open the pantry or the fridge or walk through the aisles of the grocery store, you ever stand there in utter amazement that God has given us these things? I was coming home from Meijer the other day. I mentioned to my wife, I said, it is hard, isn't it, to pray the fourth petition? We just go to the grocery store and our food is there. We take the food off the shelf, we bring it home and cook the meal, but behind that is God's generosity. So Meijer doesn't simply belong to Fred Meijer and his family. Meijer belongs to God. It's God's storehouse. It's God's grocery store for us to enjoy, but to remember that he has given us all these things. Children, when you sit down to eat at the dinner table, when your mom cooks you a meal, it's right to thank her for cooking a delicious meal. When you open your lunchbox at school, you see the sandwich there and all the snacks there. Your mom put that there in the morning. But above everything else, God has put that in your lunch pail. And so remember that when you eat your lunch, when you eat your dinner at home, God has given you these things. We need to remember, first of all, that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes from above. Nothing comes from our taking, but it all comes from God's giving. And so we need that petition more than ever, don't we? Give us, O God. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this sense of dependence upon thee alone rather than upon what we can take to ourselves. The second challenge in praying the fourth petition is found in the second word, give us. Jesus teaches us to pray in the plural. It's not just give me my daily bread, it's give us our daily bread. This is not a petition that focuses on selfish interests. That's important, isn't it, as we address God in prayer. This model prayer is corporate in nature, includes all different kinds of people. When we pray this prayer around the dinner table, it includes the entire family. The entire family, as we come before God in prayer, confesses their dependence upon God. Give us this day, our daily bread. And so we come together as a family around mealtimes and we say that our trust is in God, that He has given us these things. Because if God would withhold His blessing, we would have none of them. As we pray this prayer, we're praying for our entire church family, aren't we? We're praying for those in need, for those who struggle with receiving their daily bread. That takes all kinds of forms. It's not just meals. It's many different ways. We're praying for our church family's daily provision as we pray this prayer. We're praying for brothers and sisters in the Lord who need daily provision. Both in this country and around the world, there are many, many Christians who live under the conditions of famine and persecution, who do not know where their next meal is coming from. And so we see how broad this prayer is. It's not just about me. It's about our families. It's about the family of God. It's about those who have less than us. And so this petition roots up our selfish nature, our trust in ourselves, and it leads us to trust in God again. Even to the point where we need to depend on God as He's given us means in providing things for one another. Phil Ryken writes in his book on the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, if you don't have, is an excellent book to read on the Lord's Prayer. Phil Ryken on the Lord's Prayer. He writes this. He says, "It makes sense to pray for our bread because it takes a community to produce a loaf of bread. One person plows the field, plants the seed, and harvests the grain. Another person grinds the flour and breaks the bread and bakes the bread we eat. Still others deliver the loaf to the dinner table. Thus, most of the bread we eat, at least in America, was made by someone else. So we're dependent upon God as He gives the means to provide for our daily provision." That principle also transfers into the church, doesn't it? We're dependent upon one another for providing our daily needs. The point of all this is to show that we are called to trust in God alone, not in ourselves. To trust in Him alone without reserve for our daily bread as He uses means to bring that about. And I think oftentimes we can be focused on our work and say that it's the labor of our hands that have put all this on the table. In some sense, that's true. As we live in the American Midwest, we are hardworking people. And that's a good thing because Scripture affirms that. You need to work in order to eat. But if we're not working, if God is not blessing our work, rather, then we will not eat. Work was part of life for Adam in the Garden of Eden. He was called to work there to till the ground, to take care of the garden. But after the fall, work became a lot more difficult. It was cursed because God said to Adam in Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground." So the bread we have on the table, in a sense, comes through hard work and sweat and labor. But as we pray this fourth petition, we confess that we need God to bless our work, to redeem us from that curse that was placed upon our work, so He will bless our work and that we can have food enough for our families. But even then we forget. We're prone to forget, to say that we've worked for our food and God gets pushed out of the picture again. But God warns the Israelites and He warns us as well. He says, "Beware lest thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." And so the fourth petition takes our focus away from our independence, our selfishness, our tendency to view our work as that which brings food into the home and on the table. We need to pray, give us, so that we receive our daily bread and blessing from God. And so the question comes to us, will we trust in God alone? Or will we work and work and be tempted to push God to the outside and forget that He has given us power to get wealth and to get bread? The third challenge we face in praying the fourth petition is cultivating a spirit of contentment and fighting against worrying for the future. Give us this day. This word is unique in all of Scripture. It only occurs once in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and in Luke. It doesn't occur in any other Bible book. It doesn't occur in the spoken Greek language of the day. And so it's difficult to discern the exact meaning. Some commentators translate it this way. They say, give us bread sufficient for the next day. As we're praying today, we're praying for bread that's sufficient for tomorrow. Others translate it, give us bread for the current day. As we begin our day, we pray, give us this day our daily bread for the current day. Lord, feed us for today. Or give us this day our needful bread. Or give us our bread necessary for daily existence. However you take the word. Central to the meaning of this word is this daily, this idea of daily provision. Whether it be for this day or the next, the fourth petition teaches us to live day by day. Not to worry about the future and what the future will bring. And children, there are several very good examples of this from Scripture. I'm sure you might be thinking of those. Perhaps even as we're talking about this. The first example is the Israelites in the wilderness. What did God give them day by day? He gave them manna. Every morning the Israelites went out, they gathered the manna, they lived day by day upon God's provision. On Friday, what is our Friday now, they would gather double the amount for their Sabbath. And so God provided for them. They learned to live day by day. That's a beautiful example for us to show us how we are completely dependent upon God day by day. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so we're called to be content with the things that God gives us today and to pray for the things that we need today. There's another example. The prophet Elijah, as he was at the brook Kereth, he received food to live for by the day. God sent him ravens who would bring bread and meat to him every single day. Elijah learned to live day by day. For his daily existence, he depended upon God. The widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, she received enough oil in her jar and flour in her jug so she could feed her family, her household, day by day. It never ran out. This day-by-day living promotes a spirit of contentment because it brings us to God. It brings us to depend on Him for our daily provision. So often we think that if we have to live day by day, we would worry more, wouldn't we? Because we're not sure what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow is uncertain. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If we're living day by day, we acknowledge that God will take care of us. This goes against the grain of our sinful human natures. We want to depend on ourselves. We want to stock up for the future. We want to take care of all these things. But Jesus continues. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And indeed, that's the ordering of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Let thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This day-by-day living runs counter to our way of thinking. We like to be in control of our lives. Perhaps the problem is not worrying so much about tomorrow as it is controlling what God controls. We want to keep our lives firmly within our own fists. But what does the fourth petition do? The fourth petition in praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," begins to peel our fingers from off our lives. We learn to live contentedly upon God's provision. If we have enough food and clothing, the basic necessities of life, we're called to be content. We have so much and we still worry about tomorrow. Maybe not Monday, but the weeks and the months ahead. The fourth petition refocuses our priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If God is not first, then how can we enjoy and live contentedly? Godliness, says Paul to Timothy, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We live in a world that's always stockpiling, always buying. It's so easy to go online and to buy the things we need and perhaps the things we don't need. We go through our homes and we see the superabounding gifts that God has given us. We're called to be content and not to worry. So the question comes, are we content with what God has given us for our daily provision? Or are we worrying excessively for what is coming in the future? How we need to go back to God and depend on Him for everything, for our daily existence. Because that's all we really need. That's all He really calls us to live by. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The fourth challenge we face comes in the last words of this petition, "Our daily bread." Psalter is titled "Lessons from the Past," and indeed we learn these valuable lessons, don't we? Lessons that Israel passed through as God gave them manna in abundance, as He sent them quail. And what did they do? They murmured, they wanted more. God gave them all they needed, and yet they wanted more. They manifested a heart of greed despite their needs having been met. And we face that very same challenge today, and so we need the warnings from the past. We need the lessons from the past. The Israelites murmured and complained. They had bread enough and to spare, and what did they ask for? They murmured to Moses, and they said, "Bring us back to Egypt for the cucumbers and the garlic that we enjoyed there." You see, they were greedy. They wanted more than what God had given them. But this fourth petition refocuses us, doesn't it? On our daily need. Give us this day our daily bread. We learn to live in dependence upon God by faith in God. Oftentimes we hear stories from the past, from godly people, of godly people who lived from day to day, how God would send them provision on their doorstep. Recently read a story of Hudson Taylor as he was preparing for missionary work in China. He received money, his quarterly payments, and that was almost gone. A father came to him in rags and said, "Can you please come and help? My wife is sick. There's a little baby and other children." And so he came to that home and he saw them, pale, gaunt, thin, hungry. And all the while, he had this piece of money in his pocket, and he kept arguing with himself. He wasn't going to give that piece of money. But here was his family in need. They needed their daily bread. They needed help. And he was the one that God brought there to help them. And eventually, the Lord loosened his grip on that coin, and he gave that coin. Provided for the daily needs of that family. But then he had to live by faith on God's provision. Because the person who was supposed to give him his payment had forgotten. And he didn't feel he could ask for that payment that was stepping beyond his bounds. And so he had to live in dependence upon God. And so he received a package in the mail. And that package was money. So he only had breakfast on Monday. Monday morning, that package came and provided with money for his daily bread. And those are wonderful stories, aren't they, of how God provides for his people. They face the challenge of poverty in praying this petition. I think the challenge is the opposite for us. As we have so much, give us this day our daily bread. Part of the language of today's family is we need to make a Sam's Club run, we need to make a Costco run. And part of that is buying in bulk because it's cheaper, and that's a good thing. It's stewarding the resources that God has given us. But if that's what we're depending on, we lose something, don't we? It's difficult to pray for our daily bread when there is so much choice and when there's so much abundance. We have more than we could ever use at one time for one day. We begin to lose the thrust of this fourth petition. We miss out on two blessings. We miss out on the blessing of learning dependence upon God if we put all our stock in these accumulating more and thinking ahead of the future. We miss out on the blessing of learning dependence upon God. And we miss out on the blessing of giving to others what God has given to us. In some ways, this is how our world operates. To go out and to buy groceries for a week, and that's a good thing. It's stewarding what God has given us. And yet we must not forget that God gives us our daily bread. Day by day, we're in dependence upon God. And so we need to do the things we do in order to feed our families, to take care of them. Yet let's not forget that we are utterly dependent upon God. That when God showers us with all these blessings, we are called to help others who are in need. In Proverbs 30, verse 8, we read the prayer of Agur. As he prayed to God, he said, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." You see, that's all we really need. Our needs are boiled down to the basic necessities of life. Food, raiment, or clothing, shelter. This might vary for us depending on the circumstances of our lives, but this petition challenges greed, doesn't it? To stock up for our family is not greed, but if that's what we place our stock in, if that's what we depend on, then we need to go back and look into our hearts and see if we're living according to our daily need or if we're living according to greed. The fourth petition teaches us that God is so rich and free in his gifts of daily bread. He delights to give us our need. But if we go beyond that, manifesting hearts of greed, then he will come against us as we learn from the past, from Israel. God became angry with them. He became angry with them. Because they wanted more than they needed. So we need to ask ourselves, as this petition comes home to us this morning, are we living according to our daily need? Are we asking God for our daily bread? Or are we going beyond that, striving for things we don't really need, accumulating stuff without sharing with others? This brings us to the final challenge. Is the fourth petition an end in itself? Or is it a means to an end? Well, first of all, we need to understand that this petition focuses on bread, the things we eat. It's as simple as that. As I shared with you, that was the challenge in studying and preparing this message. It seems so unspiritual just to pray for bread. But that's the meaning of the word for bread, the things we need for our bodies. And so we see that God does not minimize the care of the body. But we don't end there, do we? This petition is actually the opposite. Several weeks ago, we saw that our spirituality is reflected even in the minute details of life. Whether we eat or whether we drink, we are to do all to the glory of God. Christ is to have the preeminence, the first place in our lives when we eat and when we drink. And so, yes, this petition is for our daily bread, and yet it brings us beyond our daily bread, doesn't it? It's interesting, as Christ taught his disciples and as he teaches us to pray, he begins with God. He moves to our bodily needs and then he moves to our spiritual needs. And so this petition will ultimately reveal where our heart is this morning. We are either depending on God and his blessing upon our labor, or we're living self-sufficiently and independently of God. And if that's where we are this morning, then we need to come back to God. That's what this petition is doing, isn't it? It's bringing us back to God and dependence upon him, even for those things that we need for our bodies. And if we're living independently of God, we need to be aware that there is a warning for those of you who are doing that this morning. Think of the parable of the rich fool that Jesus taught. He lived independently of God. He had stored all these things. He had done all these things. He said, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But God came to him and said, thou fool, this night thy life is required of thee. It teaches us If we're living independently of God with all these blessings, we're missing the entire point of life. Because we were created to glorify and enjoy God forever. And so this petition, it ought to lead us beyond this daily bread to the heavenly manna which came down from heaven, which is Christ himself. It ought to lead us to the bread of life, which is Christ himself. The structure of the Lord's Prayer might seem jarring to move from God to bodily needs to spiritual needs. We see it's intentional. As we move from petitioning God for our bodily needs, we do not end there. We're called to consider the needs of our soul. Give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our entire lives are lived in dependence upon God. We cannot simply ask for our daily bread and then go on living as if God doesn't exist. What this petition is doing is calling us to repentance this morning and calling us to take account for the gifts that God has given us. Again, the Lord reminds the Israelites and us of this upon their entry into Canaan in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. What does he say there? He says, "He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know." He did this with a very specific purpose in mind, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So God causes us to suffer hunger. God feeds us with all these good things and blessings that he's given us. Not just as an end in themselves, but to bring us back to him, to live by faith in him, by faith in his word, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It's interesting. I was actually amazed at how Jesus took these same words upon his own lips when he was tempted in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. The devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, make these stones turn into bread." And what did he say? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What was he doing there? He could have easily commanded those stones to become bread. But Christ put his bodily welfare aside as he was tempted of the devil. He put his bodily welfare aside so that he might put our spiritual welfare first. Then all the temptations that come against us in this petition, in praying this petition, Christ is a Savior who is perfectly suited to meet that need and those challenges and those temptations and to forgive our sins in praying this petition of relying on ourselves, of missing the point of life, of going through life and living only for the gifts and not the giver. As he withstood the temptation to follow after bread of this life, he qualified himself and his human nature to be the Savior of sinners like us, to lead us to himself, to the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. How are you living this morning, congregation? I can't see into your hearts, but God can. And you know, I pray you know your own heart. How are you living in regards to the fourth petition? Do you mumble it in lip service and move on in life as if God doesn't exist? As if his goodness has not reached to you? I warn you to be careful how you're living. Because if we take all these things together, we write over them the goodness of God. And Scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. For the first time, or that lifestyle of repentance, as we see the goodness of God, it brings us back to him again. Where is the needle in the barometer of your life? Is it self-reliance? Or is it relying on God and his provision for daily bread and the bread of life, Christ himself? And we can come to church longing for the bread of life, for Christ. But there were crowds that did this as well. They followed Jesus because he fed the 5,000. They saw the miracles he did. Their stomachs were filled. And yet they did not believe on him. But Jesus teaches us, as we pray for our daily bread, God gives all of that to us and more. He teaches us that he is the bread of life. And if we eat of him, we will never hunger. Has your daily bread led you to the bread of life? Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for teaching us how we ought to pray. And we confess that we fall far short of this. That we simply stumble through prayer and its application in our lives. Lord, help us to see that thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift. If we are not living by faith in thee, that this petition will profit us nothing, will only serve to condemn us in the last day if we remain unrepentant. But Lord, we thank thee that thou dost fulfill this petition in so many different ways in our lives, the material blessings that we enjoy. Lord, we confess that all too often we think of them as privileges, that they belong to us. But they are not privileges, they are blessings. And so help us to think of them as such, blessings that come from the fatherly hand of God himself. And help us also to see that this prayer, this petition, is not simply an end of its in itself, but it's a means to an end, to lead us to the bread of life. Lord, we thank thee that we need not hunger again after the things of this world, after sin. We can be completely and fully satisfied in thy provision for us in our daily bread, in thy provision for us in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. So continue to feed us throughout this day and into the coming week, that we might lean on thee wholly. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.